Good morning, Keystone. Good to see you this morning. Glad you're here. I assume that no matter where you fall on the football spectrum, it's been a good weekend, right? So that's good. I'm learning that. So that's good. Des Moines Marathon today. How many of you are glad you're not running a marathon? Yes. Yeah, it's like, I would do anything other than run a, like two bad choices, like listen to Fry preach, run a marathon. Listen to Fry preach, right? Yep, our daughter-in-law and her sister came to run the marathon. They're running the half right now. And I blessed them this morning and came to church. So, yep, but man, good season, a lot going on in the community, in the life of Keystone. So we're glad that you're here and part of us, and especially those who are visiting with us. Good to see you. When I think about that with change, I was reflecting this week that grass cutting season is almost over. Yes? I mean, snow shoveling season's coming, but whatever. And, you know, reactions to that, I thought to myself that probably some of you are like, man, let me introduce you to a little something called an HOA. I don't cut grass anymore, right? Some of you are like, you are the guy in your yard uprooting dandelions with a penknife. You know, it's like cut this way, then you cut that way. It's like the infield of Wrigley Field, for Pete's sake, your yard. Or some of you are like, my lawn could best be described as salad. Like, hold up a bag of field greens. That's my yard, right? You don't know what's growing in there. My yard, a little ranch dressing equals a healthy salad. Well, in my yard this summer, crabgrass took over. And it was, you know, it was aggressive crabgrass screaming at passing cars, pushing out the healthy grass. I needed to deal with the crabgrass, so I went to the store to see how I could deal with it. And I'd like to tell you some of the products I came across, okay? Bio Advanced Selective Weed Killer. That's what I'm talking about. Here was another product, XLR8. Did you ever notice how something with letters and numbers in front of it sounds so much more effective, doesn't it? Like if it's either made in Germany or has letters and numbers in front of it, it's really better than everything else, right? I don't know if this was made in Germany, but it was called XLR8 Crabgrass Killer. And then in parentheses said herbicide. It's like homicide for grass. That's what I want. Another one was Advanced Weed and Crabgrass Killer. Yes. Here's what I don't want. Weed and feed. It sounds like kittens and puppies. Like weed and feed. So gentle. I came across products that said they halt crabgrass. Or they are grassy weed preventer. Crabgrass and weed control. Understand, I don't want to halt and prevent and control my crabgrass. I want to kill it. Herbicide. That's what I wanted for my crabgrass. It's a metaphor. If your lawn was your life, if your lawn was your life, the crabgrass that is sin is not something you should manage. It is something you should kill. If your lawn was your life, the crabgrass, the sin, is not something you want to prevent or manage or control. It's something you want to kill. John Owen, who was a 17th century Puritan, said it like this: be killing sin or it will be killing you. I understand it doesn't make a great welcome, Matt. Like, be killing sin or it will be killing you, the fries. Probably not. But he's right. Be killing sin or it will be killing you. His warning gives us a sobering summary of our passages today. And you can turn with me to Joshua chapter 7. If you have your Bible, you're going to want to be there, Joshua 7 and 8. As we continue in this series, maybe you've been here, maybe you haven't, but we're in a series titled Living in the Promise, which is the story of Joshua, the children of Israel, entering into the land of promise. This grand picture of the promise to come for all of us who know Jesus, the promise of heaven, and the journey to promise. Joshua 7 and 8. Well, living in the promise today means confronting sin and facing the consequences. I want us to consider together several ways in which we can evaluate if we are killing sin or if it is killing us. Been a pretty good journey so far. If you haven't been here, you can watch online to catch up on some of the sermons, but it's been a pretty good journey. And today, unfortunately, we have to deal with sin and the consequences of sin in this life of living in the promise. And hopefully today, from what is a sobering text, we can come away with this. I hope you can come away with this. An evaluation of your life. Are you killing your sin or is it killing you? That's the question I want to ask you today. Evaluate that in your life. Several ways we want to evaluate that. How do I know if I'm killing sin or if it's killing me? First way is this. I forget that my sin affects more than just me. It's the first thing I want us to think about today. Here's a way to know that your sin is killing you if you forget that your sin affects more than just you. I would love to read through the text and set the narrative. It's a lot of verses. I want to be in a church where we read the Bible more and not less, right? Like, I want to go to a church where they're like, man, they read the Bible all the time. Yes, I'm in. But it's 7 and 8, it's a lot of verses, so I'm going to pull some texts out that help us frame this question of, are you killing sin or is it killing you? The first way to evaluate that is this. Do I forget that my sin affects more than just me? I want to give you from Joshua chapter 7, hopefully you're there. I want to give you five ways. There's more than that here. But I want to give you five ways that we can know how our sin is affecting others. Five ways to consider soberly that our sin affects others that we may not be aware of. First one is this. Others act in ignorance of our sin. Sometimes we don't realize because of our sin, others are acting in ignorance of that sin. We don't realize that it affects them. Look at 7 verse 1. 627, Israel comes out of Jericho off a great victory. Look at 627, and the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. Good times! 7:1, the Israelites, however, were unfaithful regarding the things set apart for destruction, which was the destruction of Jericho in 7. They were unfaithful in that. Achan, it's a man. Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took some of what was set apart, and the Lord's anger burned against the Israelites. I forget that my sin affects more than just me. Sometimes I don't realize others' actions are in ignorance of my sin. It's unbelievable. Achan's the guy who sins. Israel is responsible for his unfaithfulness. It's tough, but it's true. Also, notice verses 2 and 3. Others can rightly assume success. Like life, the things I've done in the past to please God, they'll work again without knowing that my sin is affecting them. This has so many implications for us. Pick it up in 2. Joshua sent men from Jericho. This should look familiar, this formula for warfare. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, that's the next town, which is near Beth Aven, east of Bethel, and told them, go up and scout the land. So the men went up and scouted Ai. After returning to Joshua, they reported to him, don't send all the people, but send about 2,000 or 3,000 men to attack Ai, since the people of Ai are so few. Don't wear out all of our people there. Joshua sending the spies up the way he did to scout out Jericho, and Success is assumed. This is a pattern. This is a formula. It's worked in the past. He's not really doing anything wrong here. He's assuming success. What he doesn't know is that there's a sin that a man named Achan committed, that unfaithfulness Israel is now responsible for. And so he can't assume success, even though he doesn't even know about that sin. One of the ways we know that our sin is killing us is when we forget that sin is something that affects more than just us. Another way, it compounds sin. It compounds sin. That's another way that we can forget that sin is affecting more than just me. We read verses 2 and 3, and here's something that a lot of people who write about this passage in commentaries speculate about. There's a chance that maybe Joshua and the children of Israel are a little overconfident here. Joshua just assumes, hey, we had victory in Jericho, let's go. And so maybe there's a little pride, little self-confidence. It's also noticeable, Joshua doesn't spend time in prayer. You notice that? It's not like he seeks God's face. He just says, the formula of sending spies worked before, it'll work again, here we go. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if Joshua's heart was right. But I do know this, if there was sin, it's compounded by the sin of this guy Achan. And it's a reminder to us that our sin compounds the sin that already may be there. Forgetting that my sin affects more than just me. Sin causes confusion and defeat. Verse 5, notice the men of Ai struck down about 36 of them, chased them from outside the city gates to the quarries, striking them down on the descent. As a result, the people lost heart. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord until evening, as did the elders of Israel. They all put dust on their heads. Oh, Lord God, this is as depressed as I've seen this guy. Joshua said, why did you ever bring these people across the Jordan to hand us over to the Amorites for our destruction? If only we had been content to remain on the other side of the Jordan. Listen, it's easy to forget that my sin affects more than just me. It causes confusion and defeat. Joshua is at a loss. God, why did you do this? He doesn't know. Joshua doesn't know. It leads finally then to doubt. In despair, 7. We read, let me read 8 and 9. What can I say, Lord, now that Israel's turned its back and run from its enemies? When the Canaanites and all who live in the land hear about this, they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. Then what will you do about your great name? Doubt and despair. All of this in the context of the sin of a man who was unfaithful that now the nation is responsible for, and they don't know anything about it. Be killing sin, or it will be killing you. Sin always creates the specter of a backstory. Sin always creates the specter of a backstory. You ever been talking with someone and you're talking about a problem or a situation? And you dive in and you jump in and you think, well, I see it like this and that. And they say, wait a minute. You don't know the backstory. You ever been there? And then you hear the backstory and you're like, yeah, you're right. I did not know that was going on. I mean, that's the point here. Joshua and the people have no idea about the specter of a backstory, a man who sins behind everyone's back. And he doesn't think that his sin is going to affect anyone else. And it does. And I've lifted five ways out of the text that it does that, and there's more. It's devastating. So be killing sin, or it will be killing you. The wording of 7:1, look at it. I've underlined the contrast. It says the Israelites were unfaithful. Achan took. It's the Israelites who are accountable for the sin of Achan. The ESV Study Bible notes, Achan is the actual perpetrator. Israel as a covenant community is held responsible for the presence of sin in its midst. Be be killing sin or it would be killing you means don't forget your sin affects more than just you. My sin affects more than just me. All sin creates the specter of a backstory. I wonder, do we take time to consider the consequences of our sin? And let me give you an action step this week. Maybe it's good. I mean, I'm a dad. Dads, doesn't this hit heavy? What is the impact of your sin on your family? Maybe it would be good to sit down and think about, before you sin, the consequences, the potential consequences of the sin. Again, I lifted 5 ways in which Achan's sin affected other people in ways he could never have imagined. Maybe it would be good for us to sit down with our sin and list out potential consequences, because there's many we'll never even think of because we don't have control of that. But perhaps that would be a good reminder for us to be killing our sin. So I forget that sin, my sin, affects more than just me. Second thing is this: I forget that sin is rarely dealt with on my terms. Sin is rarely. Sometimes it is. Sometimes we can maneuver in such a way that it is, but sin is rarely dealt with on my terms. Go to 7:16. Look at verse 16 of chapter 7. Basically, the context, God says to Joshua, "Joshua, there's sin, man. Get up and deal with it." And so Joshua is given orders to deal with the sin. How is Achan feeling here? What do you think? I don't know. Does he sense the pressure? Chapter 7, verse 16, Joshua got up early the next morning. He had Israel come. Notice the word selected in these verses. He had Israel come forward tribe by tribe, and the tribe of Judah was selected. He had the clans of Judah come forward, and the Zerite clan was selected. He had the Zerite clan come forward by heads of families, and Zabdi was selected. He then had Zabdi's family come forward man by man, and Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, was selected. I forget, when I'm not killing my sin, that it is rarely dealt with on my terms. Maybe Achan thought he was safe, that what he did would remain undiscovered. I don't know. Undiscovered, undetected, ignored. It did not. Sometimes our sin will remain undiscovered, undetected, ignored. Sometimes it will not. It did not here. Pressure from the outside closed the circle tighter and tighter until Achan's sin was exposed. Several things. Here are things we rarely have control over when it comes to the terms of our sin. I rarely have control over the consequences for how my sin will be dealt with. That's one thing. You ever said, this is really not a big deal? You ever said that in your sin? This is really not a big deal. Rarely do we have control over that. Rarely do we have control over the consequences for when our sin will be dealt with. You ever said, there won't be any long-term implications? You ever said that in your sin? Have you ever said that in my sin? That there won't be any long-term implications. Rarely do we have control over that. Most devastatingly, rarely do I have control over the consequences for who will deal with the consequences of my sin. This only affects me. You ever say that? I want to take a moment to acknowledge in this text that in chapter 7, there is the downright horror of the fact that, I don't know about you, but makes me recoil. Everything that Achan had and everyone he knew in his family paid for the price of his sin with their life. That is a troubling destruction. That is a troubling destruction. Everything he had, everyone he knew, paid for the consequences of his sin. We'll talk more about that later. Dale Ralph Davis writes this: we would do well to fear. Fear because one man's sin turned away God's presence from a whole people. Fear because a man's whole household was drawn into his punishment. We Christians generally have such a tame view of sin. I forget that sin is rarely dealt with on my terms. I had the opportunity in previous ministry to work in recovery ministry with folks who are coming off of serious addiction in their life. Often at a place where they've been exposed. Their sin has been discovered. They've hit rock bottom. One of the first steps in that process is this: I admit that I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. Here's what I've discovered about folks in recovery who are being redeemed from that kind of habitual sin is this: it is easy for someone who has reached rock bottom to admit it. It is difficult when I still think I have the power to keep rearranging the moving parts of my sin. Right? It's easy to forget that my sin will rarely be dealt with on my terms when I still have the power to rearrange the moving parts of my sin. Well, it would be good for us to remember this: all sin is unmanageable living. All sin is unmanageable living, the consequences of which can be devastating, and they are devastating in this text. The consequences of which will rarely be on my terms. Remember the story of Samson? And you're like, Samson, that was a movie, wasn't it? Yes, but it's a Bible story too. Samson was this guy and he plays games with this woman, Delilah. She plays games with him to try to find the secret of his strength. And so she goes after him and he's like, this is the secret. And then she sends in the Philistines, the enemy, to grab him. She's like, Samson, they're upon you. That's my Delilah voice. Samson, they're upon you. And he rises up and he destroys them. And ha, it's so funny. In Judges chapter 16, there is a devastating verse. Because he comes to the end of that game where he discovers that he can't deal with the consequences of his sin in the way he thought. Delilah knows this. Then she cried, this is Judges, then she cried, Samson, the Philistines are here. When he awoke from his sleep, he said, my life is manageable. I will escape as I did before and shake myself free. Notice, but he did not know that the Lord had left him. Be killing sin or it will be killing you means don't forget sin is rarely dealt with on your terms. Fear God. Remember that he controls the how, the when, and the who of sin's consequences. Third thing, I forget that fighting sin is war. I forget that fighting sin is war. Chapter 8. So Achan is dealt with directly. His family pays the price for his sin with their lives. Everything and everyone he's associated with is destroyed. So the battle is taken up again in Ai. Joshua 8:26. Joshua did not draw back his hand that was holding the javelin until all the inhabitants of Ai were completely destroyed. 28, Joshua burned Ai and left it a permanent ruin, still desolate today. I don't know about you, but that's hard to read. Those are the kind of chapters that make people not believe the Bible. Let me say a couple things to frame the way we can wrestle with these kinds of destructions in chapter 7 and in chapter 8. Number one is this: they are deeply troubling. And that is a legitimate and a lasting response. It's a response I have, and it's a response you have, I'm sure. And that's legitimate. They are troubling destructions. Second thing to note is this: this destruction is an issue in chapter 8, an issue of, one writer says, sin, not skin. It's important. Because in chapter 7, it is judgment upon Israel, and in chapter 8, it is judgment upon non-Israel. Achan experiences the judgment of God, Israel. The Canaanites, non-Israel, also receives the judgment of God. So these texts are not rationale for one people group is better than another. Third thing, as a follower of Jesus, I trust and I am learning to trust the character of God. This is troubling destruction, but as a follower of Jesus, I trust and I am learning to trust the character of God. So let's talk about the character of God. In Ezekiel chapter 33, it says, God says this, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Somehow, that is paradoxically folded into this destruction in Joshua chapter 7 and 8. So God says, I take no delight, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, and yet here is the death of the wicked. You feel that tension? I feel that tension. I am trusting the character of God, and I am learning to trust the character of God. Fourth thing, I need a biblically robust view of several things when I read destruction like this. I need a biblically robust view of holiness, which God is. He is holy. I need a biblically robust view of justice, which God demands. He demands justice. And I need a biblically robust view of mercy, which God does not owe anyone. I don't know about you, but I wake up some days thinking, I deserve mercy. God does not owe mercy to anyone. He's holy. He demands justice. Sometimes he shows mercy. Fifth thing, God has the authority here, as he did in other places in the Bible, in the fall of man, in the great flood, as he will someday in future judgment. God has authority to judge. He's God. And there is a sixth thing that is important for us when we think about this third point, that fighting sin is war, and is this: sin is a big deal to God. Sin is a big deal to God. Something that is clear in this text for Israel, this is war. Joshua chapter 8 is war. For us, killing sin, or it killing us, means fighting sin is war. That metaphor serves the fight against sin throughout the Bible. Romans 7 uses the same metaphor. So, are you fighting sin as war? Couple thoughts. If not, stop doing the things that keep you from fighting the war against sin. Stop doing things that are keeping you from fighting the war against sin. There are some of us here today, and you think, there is this in my life, and all it says to God is, I don't care about sin. Stop doing that. Find accountability. Find conviction from the Spirit of God. Confess that thing. Turn from it. Stop doing it. God takes us right up to the edge of these devastating judgments. Maybe today to say to you, to say to me, stop doing things that are keeping you from fighting the war against sin. Secondly, maybe you need to start doing things that show you are fighting the war. The Bible uses a great pattern of putting off and putting on. So Stop doing the things that demonstrate in your life, I'm not taking sin seriously. Start doing the things that demonstrate, God, I'm ready for war. I love Ephesians 6:11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. Maybe for some of us, the armor is in the basement and we haven't had it on in a while. And next week, it's time to go down and dust off the armor and put it back on to demonstrate that we're fighting sin. I read this week in an Iowa DNR fishing report. It said this: hunting seasons are open in Iowa. If you're fishing, wear bright orange to be visible to hunters. Good advice. I wonder this morning, follower of Jesus, do you have your bright orange on? Are you saying to the world, are you saying to the devil, are you saying to your flesh, I don't want to be shot? It's war. Start doing the things that show you are fighting the war against sin. Finally, maybe when it comes to fighting the war of sin, it's not about starting and stopping as much as it is you need hope today. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about the weapons of our warfare. Remember that verse? That there are weapons. As followers of Jesus, we have weapons for warfare. Maybe you're here and you're like, Matt, I'm afraid of my sin, man. I'm afraid of the fact that my sin is killing me. But I got no weapons. I don't know what my weapons are. Matt, I need hope. Well, who do you see yourself as in this story we read today? Who are you in this story? In Joshua chapter 7 and 8, think about that. Who are you in this story? Man, I've been hearing this story since I was a kid. You know who I am? I'm always a guy who's in a different tribe who knew somebody who knew somebody who knew Achan. And I'm standing there in that day when the circle closes tighter and tighter around him, and I'm like, you idiot! How could you do that to your family? Can you believe this guy? That's always who I am in the story. You know who I really am in the story? I'm Achan. So are you. We're the Canaanites. All of us. We got no weapons. We don't have hope. And yet, the Bible tells us that that's where Jesus comes in. Jesus comes into the story of Achan, and as it were, he comes and says, for your sin, I will be the one who dies. I will be the one who is in your place. If you're here and you need hope, you need weapons for your warfare. Listen, the place to run is to Jesus. He is the one who came for the Achans and for the Canaanites who are guilty before a holy God and said, in your place. Today we learned that we are sinners and guilty and God is just and holy. But he made a way for all of us who are just like Achan and as guilty as the Canaanites. He sent Jesus. Jen Pollock Michael writes this. Listen, God is not simply given to leniency. He's not given to essentially saying that, well, I know there are rules you broke and you broke them badly, but listen, it's no big deal. That's not what you have from God. The cross speaks a thundering word about the cosmic big deal that is sin. The surprise of the cross isn't just its leniency, but also its violence. It is not that I am strung up for failure, but that God himself is. For all the mistakes and the moral failings of humanity, he is the one betrayed and beaten. He is the one crucified and pierced. It is his breath, not mine, that expires. It is his body, not mine, that is entombed. I deserve death, and I get his innocence instead. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Man, Joshua 7:8, sobering. Be killing sin or it will be killing you, but in Christ we fight in victory. Listen, if you don't know Jesus, there's no victory. You have no weapons for your warfare. Today I would say this, run to the cross where Christ died for your sin. For all of us, Achans and Canaanites. You follow Jesus? If so, know this. Fighting sin is war, but we fight in victory. Let's pray. Lord, these are hard sayings. This is a destruction that is difficult for us to process. And Lord, you record it for us for some reasons we're not sure, but certainly some that are crystal clear, and that is this: sin is a big deal to a holy God who demands justice. And yet, you showed mercy to us in the person and the work of Jesus. And so all of us, Achans and Canaanites, we come and we say, Lord, we're without hope apart from a Savior. We have no weapons for our warfare. So you sent Jesus. Lord, I pray for those who are without hope this morning that they would run to the cross, where in violence but forgiveness, we can draw near to God. So bring those to yourself this morning who need to hear that. Some of us need the same hope to fight as followers of yours. I pray for those here who are not fighting sin, that God, we would think about its consequences, to be dealt with in ways that we can't control, to affect others in ways we don't realize. May we take that seriously in our battle. Thank you for the victory in which we fight through Jesus. In his good name we pray, amen.